This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A New York judge will decide today whether the 32 felony convictions against Donald Trump should be tossed out because of the recent Supreme Court ruling. Here's ABC's Aaron Katursky.
That decision the judge is going to make here today is going to determine whether President-elect Trump takes office as a convicted felon. You'll remember it was back in May, a jury here found Trump guilty of charges that involved money he had paid just before the 2016 election to silence adult film actress Stormy Daniels about their long-denied affair. Trump argued that conviction should be thrown out because of the U.S. Supreme Court ruling on presidential immunity.
The president-elect, meantime, sources say, will name Florida Senator Marco Rubio as the country's next Secretary of State. The FAA considering banning all flights into and out of Haiti following the barrage of bullets aimed at a Spirit Airlines flight as it was coming in for a landing on Monday. A driver in China killed 35 people when he deliberately rammed his car into people exercising. Police say he was upset over a divorce proceeding. This is ABC News. Some hope that higher humidity and quieter winds will help firefighters battling the mountain fire northwest of Los Angeles. Ventura County Fire Battalion Chief Nick Cleary says they're using drones to try to get ahead of the flames.
Those drones have infrared technology, and so they're able to get the heat sources with GPS coordinates so we can get firefighters directly over there.
The fire just over 40% contained. On the East Coast, no rain in the forecast for New Jersey. A fire along the New York border grows to more than 5,000 acres. Tuskegee University in Alabama now closing its campus to the public after a shooting on homecoming weekend that left one person dead, more than a dozen wounded. Literature professor Dr. Camille Alexander.
We should reclaim our space. This is our campus. This campus does not belong to the assailants.
One person now under arrest. New worries about whooping cough. Officials in Washington state say cases statewide there are up more than 2,000% this year. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Everyone on the road is trying to make it to their destination safely. You can help by staying aware of the large trucks and buses around you. They take longer to stop, have large blind spots, and make wide turns that require caution from other drivers. It takes all of us working together to share the road safely. Learn more at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov. Paid for by FMCSA.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have, you plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. Gladiator 2 is just a couple weeks away from hitting theaters. According to director Ridley Scott, Joaquin Phoenix almost quit the first Gladiator. The 86-year-old director says Phoenix got cold feet and told Scott he had to leave the project. It took a Gladiator-type effort from fellow castmate Russell Crowe, who told Phoenix he was being terribly unprofessional. At the end of the day, it was Scott who talked the actor into staying on the film. Gladiator 2 does not have Joaquin Phoenix or Russell Crowe, but is directed by Scott and opens November 22nd. The sixth Pirates of the Caribbean film is in development. Good Lord. Producer Jerry Bruckheimer says production on the film will start in late 2025, but the cast has not yet been assembled. Johnny Depp is a maybe, but Keira Knightley says that she will not take part unless it's the final film of the franchise. Fingers crossed. The film does not have a title yet. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Badgers have another night game. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Mike Clemens for Civic Media Sports. This Saturday, the Wisconsin Badgers will host the undefeated Oregon Ducks at Camp Randall Stadium. Coach Luke Fickell says the bye week helped them in preparing for the big game.
We know that, but that's where we've got to make sure that we got to go back to what it is that we do and continue to climb this mountain to get better.
Kickoff is at 6:30 p.m. Saturday. The Badgers are 5-4 and need a win over their final three games in order to become bowl eligible. Milwaukee Brewers manager Pat Murphy and rookie standout Jackson Churio are up for some hardware. Murphy was named as one of three finalists for the National League Manager of the Year. The other finalists are San Diego's Mike Schilt and New York's Carlos Mendoza. Churio is up for Rookie of the Year, along with Paul Skeens of Pittsburgh and Jackson Merrill of San Diego. The awards will be announced next week. Tonight, the 2-8 Bucks take on the 2-9 Toronto Raptors, who own the NBA's worst record. The losing team tonight will have the NBA's worst record. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. at Fiserv Forum. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today. It will become a little breezy by late this afternoon and especially into this evening. Our high today in the upper 40s to near 50. Tonight, partly cloudy, breezy in the mid to upper 30s. Tomorrow, cloudy with scattered rain and a high in the mid to upper 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we talk film noir with Civic Media's own Earl Ingram. Then I'm joined by the Wisconsin Historical Society's Kurt Griesmer, who talks Dungeons & Dragons.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome once again to Civic Media This Morning. I'm Tyler Ball, filling in for a vacationing Pat Kreitlow. He and Up North News Radio will return next Monday. Glad to have you along. Greg Bach with me from the beautiful studios down in Racine, Wisconsin. It is 6 past the hour of 7 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two. Mr. Bach, it is a sunshiny morning. Looks like, some clouds here and there. Brittany was going to update us on the weather in just a moment. But thanks for everything you're doing for us for well, Pat's gone. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, man. I don't know if I've said this before on with you or with, I mean, I love my job. I really do.
Right?
This is very, very fun, and I feel like we do good work. So to come in the morning, be able to press some buttons and talk to a friend and talk to great people, this is nothing but good stuff.
I totally agree. I wake up and I say, really? They pay me to do this?
So, yeah, right.
Here we are. And I'm glad they do. Yeah. 7 past the hour of 7 o'clock. Glad to have you along on this beautiful day here across the state of Wisconsin. Going to get a weather update from Brittany in just a moment. A couple of quick headlines for you around the world. First of all, U.S. President-elect Donald Trump is likely to pick Florida Senator Marco Rubio as his Secretary of State, according to many sources, as he rounds out Trump's national security team. Rubio's selection for the role would signal Trump's willingness.
Todd, you there?
Years.
There you go.
Focused on the China threat. Yep. Are you there? Oh, sorry. Something happened. It's very touch and go here this morning. I can tell you that. Can you hear me now?
I can, yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Anyway, also breaking here this morning, can tell you via CBS News, we should have like a sounder or something every time Donald Trump appoints a new appointee.
Here we go.
You got something? Well, there's that. And this one might be appropriate. President-elect Donald Trump is expected to name South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem as his nominee for Secretary of Department of Homeland Security, according to two sources familiar with the transition discussions. They confirmed that to CBS News. CNN first reported the development, which comes as Trump makes a slew of announcements for nominees for top roles. Again, Kristi Noem, Republican governor of South Dakota, expected to be the nominee for Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. And to borrow a phrase from Die Hard, we're going to need some more dogs. So anyway, there's that.
I got a great sounder for Kristi Noem. Great sounder. Here we go.
All right. Oh, what do you... I mean, yeah, it's... It's something. It's something. But you know, somebody who always makes me feel better every time I get to work with her on the air, it's our wonderful and talented Brittany Merlot, who brings us our forecast every morning here at this time, usually Up North Radio, but it will be back next Monday. We are here at Civic Media Mornings. Brittany, boy, it's good to see you.
Oh, thank you. You too, Todd. How you been?
Well, you know, hanging in there like everybody else. And I think right now in this environment for so many folks, the weather is important. And I'm happy that it's not, the snow isn't flying yet because it's temperate enough. We can get outside and, as the kids say, touch some grass or walk around a little bit. And it looks like we're going to have some weather, maybe a little damper, but still temperature is fairly normal for this time of November, correct?
Yeah, not too bad out there. You know, the winds are finally dying down. So all those leaves, you're going to have to probably rake them, get those kids in there. I want to see some leaf angel pictures. I think those are adorable.
They are.
Oh, goodness. See, there's always a positive. After a windy day, there's always a positive. But I will say this morning, pretty crisp and cool in Merrill, Manitouish waters. Even Superior falling to the teens this morning.
Tingly. Tingly real. Teens.
It really is. On a Tuesday. There you go. Tingly teens on a Tuesday.
Alliteration. I love it.
Oh, gosh. But a lot more cloud cover down south. Now, what we have throughout the afternoon is probably some partly sunny skies. You'll see hours of some clouds. You'll see hours of some sunshine as well. Highs today, pretty much where they should be for this time of year, in the mid to upper 40s. That's our average. That's where we should be. I know it feels cool, but at least the winds won't be as strong and out of the north. Now, they will start to pick up again this evening out of the south, which is out ahead of another system. So we are looking at rain rolling in by tomorrow afternoon and into those evening hours. It'll be very light out there. A little bit heavier overnight in the southern areas of the state, and then that'll kick on out by Thursday afternoon, and we'll see a ton of sunshine to end the week, and actually some warmer temperatures as we go into the weekend as well. Rain chances look to have left the weekend, so that is good news. I'm so excited.
Oh,
that's good. See, because too often, you know, and you poor meteorologists get blamed, of course, during sunshine during the week, and then the weekend comes, and it's like, oh, geez, now I can't do anything. But it's just the opposite, it sounds like, this week.
It will be.
Good. That's fantastic.
I'm
not going to see you again because, I hope I will at some point, but not this week. because our friend Matt Ross shot.
Todd?
I was going to be here, and then Luke Mathers will be here on Friday, but do you have any... Yes.
Oh,
is it really? Does it cut out when I pick?
Just cuts out
he
a little bit.
Hayward.
Yeah.
Where is he?
He's in Madison. He's in the HQ.
I thought for sure he's in the sticks in the Northwoods. Okay.
I'm sad. Hello, there's
goodbye, Todd. There? If you can hear me.
There's Todd. Well, before you go, Brittany, I want to bring up Rob from Tigerton. It says, "Good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and frosty."
No, I'm only at.
There we go. Okay.
It's cloudy and frosty. It sounds like my last date.
Oh, boy. Anyway. I took Brittany's advice and spent the day outside riding in the woods on my UTV watching deer running around. I used to eat French dip sandwiches with the cheaper gas prices. Nice. I have to get my beast Chevy 3/4 ton pickup filled with gas, and you got me hungry for French dip sandwiches. So, Todd, I love a French dip sandwich. That's Rob from Tigerton. Thank you much for your daily update.
Thank you, Rob.
The daily update from from Rob in Tigerton.
Daily update. That's fantastic. Brittany, do you like a good French dip?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there is this one place in Brule, Wisconsin is my favorite. I used to take the snowmobile out there. It didn't matter how cold it was. I would take it, go get that French dip, and come back. That was my goal.
For those who didn't listen last hour, and where the heck were you? But no, it's National French Dip Day today.
Ooh. Okay.
So to celebrate, go to your... And oftentimes, which I find, you can kind of get the higher-end French dip like at an American sit-down restaurant, or sometimes your local, like, you know, bar and grill.
Yeah.
They'll sometimes have a very good French dip sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's where I'm headed.
I have a question for Brittany before you go. I know you got weathering to do, but we are also... It's National Pizza with the Works, but for anchovies, which is a very long title for any day of the year. Yes. How do you feel about pizza with the works? And when you say the works, everything, like every, is it too much? Is it too much for you?
For me personally, it's a little bit too much. I'm kind of picky. And when it comes to anchovies, no.
Okay.
We're with you. Greg and I are not like, you know, full pizza kind of guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Greg said it best last hour. Like, you have to have a couple, three ingredients that complement one another. That's the key.
Absolutely. I'm a sausage, black olive, and if I can put some mushrooms on there, I'm perfect.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice. I see in Southwest Wisconsin, I think it's a thing down there, that ground beef and green olives.
Okay, I'll try it.
Greg's like, no. See, I'm more of a green olive guy than a black olive guy. I don't know why. It's just that, it's that little bit of a, it's not really tart, but what, I'm not sure what flavor you would say. Maybe it's salty? I don't know. Yeah. Sweet or salty?
I'd go with that. Greg. Green olive or black olive?
Now we black olives every time. Every time. Black
olives. Right. Todd, you're cracking me up. He's rolling back in his chair.
Did you see, and not to plug my own show, but what the hell, I'm going to do it anyway. Yesterday we did a What's Worse a segment, and we did a, because Babcock Hall down here, the University of Wisconsin-Madison, they mislabeled ice cream. So they put on what was orange chocolate chip custard, my personal favorite, they labeled it as peanut butter. And they said, this is terrible because people with allergies might get sick of eggs. So they had to relabel. Meanwhile, Mattel put a bad label on dolls for the new Wicked show that sent kids to a porn site instead of to a Wicked site for the movie. So what was worse, the mislabeling of Babcock Hall ice cream or the mislabeling of Mattel dolls that sent kids to a porn site?
I'm still.
I ask you, Brittany Merlot.
Oh
goodness. The dolls.
all right, Greg.
I'm gonna say the ice cream simply because you're dealing with someone's health. Someone could have a major reaction to the ice cream. With the dolls, that's just a conversation that I don't have to have with children. The parents get to take care of that. That's like, you deal with that. You deal with that. Not my problem.
I don't work for Mattel. Right. One of our listeners said no one's going to get killed by clicking a porn site. Where you could, to your point, somebody could die if they're allergic to eggs.
Exactly.
Well, I was thinking that the parents at this point are probably scooping the ice cream for the kid and can see that it's not the same flavor. Maybe they weren't looking at a link or where the website was going. So that's where my head was. But, hey.
Well, I'm very excited for today's show. Aaron Zommers was going to research this and find out what it all meant. So I'm very excited. He volunteered to check out the site to see if it's really real or not. So, all right, Brittany, we appreciate it. Things are temperature cool on the outside, but it's hot here at Civic Media Mornings.
Sure is. Thank you, Todd. You're the best.
Thank you, Brittany. We appreciate you. 17 now past the hour of 7 o'clock on this 12th of November 2024. Allball and Bach in for Mr. Pat Kreitlow, who is on vacation and, you know, very, very rich, deservedly so here. I literally just got, this is hilarious. This shows you where our technology this morning, and through no fault of anyone's in particular, I just got Greg's message from 6:19 a.m. that said, what do you want from me this year? It just popped up on the thing.
Wow.
And I looked at the timestamp and it said 6:19. Well, you know, Greg. Oh, Lordy. Yeah, it's one of those mornings here, but I hope that things are going well where you're at, checking traffic around the state of Wisconsin. No apparent major shutdowns or accidents this morning. And as Brittany touched on there, certainly temperatures or roads are in good fall driving condition. No icing or anything that we're aware of around the state of Wisconsin. So your commute to work and to school this morning should be a fairly smooth one. That's good news for modern man and woman. I had to teach because remember we're about close to the same age growing up. We'll talk about it when we come back. More nonsense and real news you can use. And Hans Breitenbach at
Breitenmoser.
Hi, Breitenmoser. It would help if I get the guest name right. Breitenmoser talking about agriculture. Somebody bail us out at Civic Media this morning here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good day, sunshine.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else. Right?
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Eagle 1490 AM.
It finally happened. Yes, Todd has gone more than slightly mad this morning, but Greg Bach keeps us all sane. We appreciate him. We appreciate you joining us here on a Civic Media this morning on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mr. Pat Kreitlow at Up North News Radio will return next Monday after a well-deserved vacation. 21 past the hour of 7 o'clock, all Wisconsin roadways appear in good driving condition. No major accidents and shutdowns that we are being reported on the Wisconsin Department of Transportation website. And Brittany Merlot says it will be a temperate day across the state of Wisconsin. A few showers may move in through later parts of this week, but it looks like a fairly nice weekend. So a little leaf raking perhaps is in order. Mr. Bach, do you have a yard to rake, or do you have people to do that for you?
I have a yard to rake. Yeah, there's some last bit of yard work that needs to get done before we kind of quote unquote close up shop. But yeah, there's leaves to be raked, still a lawn to be mowed, and I got to go in with the hedge trimmer and hack some stuff down and get rid of that and clean it up before the snows fall, whenever that may be.
Right. You just never know. It could be a couple of weeks. It could be January where things have been going lately.
So, yeah.
Those fall activities across the state of Wisconsin, I'm sure many people will be doing that. Perhaps getting that done early so you can watch the debacle that will happen on Saturday night. No, I should be more positive. Wisconsin Badgers take on the Oregon Ducks at Camp Randall. The number one undefeated Oregon Ducks coming to Camp Randall on Saturday. It is a prime time game on NBC and the Peacock. That's like Katy Perry. It's on the Peacock as well. And, of course, it's here right here on the Civic Media Radio Network via the Badger Sports Network from Learfield. Matt LaPay and Mark Towser on the call. And it should be it'll be a great broadcast. You can listen to it for free if you download the Civic Media app to your Apple or Android device. You can do it by typing in CIVIC Civic Media. It'll pop up on your search bar. Takes less than a minute to download. It is free, gratis, $0, and it's all yours if the price is right. And it is, because it's free. And no matter where you're at, Greg, if you got Wi-Fi, Not here in our studios, of course. But if you have Wi-Fi or if you have cell phone service, you can actually take the Civic Media app with you. That's fantastic.
I love that idea. I love that you can listen to us anywhere. And I've said this on Matt and Aaron here. I would love for, if we can somehow get in the hands of an astronaut and someone listens to Civic Media in space, I would love that. That's just me.
Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be amazing.
Civic Media, Matt and Aaron on air on the space station.
I loved
everything about that.
Thank you.
And astronauts could tell Jane where the, you know, where the, look at the satellites and tell her where the birds are migrating to.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah. You get it.
Right. Good times had by all. This was by the 24 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. Coming up after the break, this is going to be fantastic. Hans Breitenmoser is going to be here from the Farmers Union to talk all things agriculture. Of course, the Farm Bill has still not passed, thanks to our lovely Republican-controlled Congress out in Washington, D.C. We'll ask Hans a little bit about that. And what else is happening? You know, this time of year, big time for ag producers. Not only are we trying to get things done in our yards, but our ag producers across the state trying to get in that harvest. Lots of things this time of year to get ready as winter approaches here for our ag community. We'll talk to Hans about that. Yesterday, by the way, was very interesting in terms of what's happened in Madison. State School Superintendent of Public Instruction Jill Underley announced that she will propose more than a $4 billion boost in state aid to the Department of Public Instruction, including raising the special education aid reimbursement rate. The agency sought a $2.5 billion increase during the previous budget cycle, and the legislature ended up approving just over $1 billion in additional state aid. This is, again, I know something that I know you and Pat have followed, Greg, here on Up North News Radio. You have a lot of folks from Wisconsin Public Education Network come on this show. And, again, I want to remind listeners that one of the most interesting storylines from what happened over the election cycle was that 78% of the public school referendums in the state passed. 78% mm-hmm. or 78 of them, I keep saying percent because I'm all these election numbers, 78 of the referendums passed. And what I'm going to be really interested to see, and I know there are people working on this, is an overlay of the school districts that passed these referendums and voters chose to tax themselves because of the lack of funding in Madison and for their public schools and their community, but also marked Trump on the ballot, a candidate who has said that he wants to eliminate the United States Department of Public Education. I find that fascinating. And again, in Wisconsin, part of the reason that Dr. Underley is proposing this is there is a lack of funding from our legislators, particularly Republicans, here in Madison. And the state is sitting on approximately a $4 billion plus cash advance, not advance, but we're $4 billion to the good, a reserve that we have. It, you know, some Republicans want to give tax cuts. I don't think that Dr. Underley's plan for public instruction means taking all that money all at once. But again, Greg, I think it shows that voters, if you explain it to them in a local way and say, here's what we're up against, here are the state mandates for public education or for special education, this type of thing. And here's what we have.
Yeah.
And it's either we cut all of our sports or art programs or music programs, or in some cases for language programs, or we have to raise taxes. And when voters hear, when it is explained to them and say, look, we're not building, you know, big Taj Mahals or anything like that, it's just to keep the lights on, voters respond. But we have to be able to have this discussion about public education.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, Pat's talked to, I can't remember the name of the group, learning that we are essentially paying for two school systems. And when people talk about school choice and vouchers, like, but you know, that's the comes out of our tax money. So your tax money goes to pay for other things. And if we didn't focus on vouchers and school choice programs and focused on putting that money into our public schools, we could help that. And we wouldn't then have to do these referendums all the time. And people, because people aren't aware of it. And like you said, we've got to talk to them. We've got to let them know this is the actual thing, what's going on. This is what our legislators are trying to do with your tax dollars, is fund a whole second school system.
Right. You nailed it on the head, Greg. And again, that private school system is something that they don't have to adhere to all the mandates that public schools do. Yep. And oftentimes that's what really increases the cost there. So anyway, we're going to come back and talk more with Mr. Bach. And also on the other side, our fine guest this morning, Mr. Hans Breitenmoser from the Wisconsin Farmers Union, talking about agriculture on this Tuesday, the 12th of November, 2024. It is 7:29. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt Nair on Air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
You know it, and animals know it. The weather in Wisconsin is changing. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Tuesday. And that means those animals are seeking shelter. Details coming up.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Marcus Mueller is a busy guy these days. He's owner of Skedaddle Humane Wildlife Control, and he says this is the time of the year when he's receiving a lot of calls from homeowners about animals trying to get in. And he explains what those animals are ultimately looking for.
So if you think about what an animal's looking for, it's looking for that shelter. Different animals require different shelter needs. So cavity nesting birds that are typically going to be nesting in holes in trees, we'll look at a wall vent on our home, like a perfect little wall cavity or a tree cavity to build a nest in. Similarly, a squirrel is going to be building a small nest out of leaves in a tree. A soffit space that's somewhat protected from the wind and the elements can perfectly replicate that. A lot of bats are going to be looking for caves to roost in over winter. Our attics provide the exact same type of shelter that a cave might. So it's kind of finding that analog to what they're looking for out in the quote-unquote nature and finding it in our home.
Marcus Mueller, owner and operator of Skedaddle Humane Wildlife Control. He said some of the telltale signs that animals are either trying to gain access to your home or are there already include maybe hearing noises at night or seeing signs of chewing on trim.
Farming is full of up and downs, but with the right tools, you can navigate any cycle. Join Compeer Financial's Grain Vantage webinar on December 4th from 9 to noon. Hear from ag industry pros like me, Rob Sharkey, during this free virtual event. Leave with real-world strategies to help you manage risk and explore opportunities in today's market. Visit compeer.com/grainvantage to sign up. The Grain Vantage webinar, helping you take control of your farm's financial future.
And there's some new faces on the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's Young Farmer and Agriculturalist Committee. Eric and Caden Senkowski of Dane County, Amanda Williams of Shawano County, and Jason Barrand of Wood County have been appointed to 3-year terms on the Board of Directors. Their term begins at the end of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's Young Farmer and Agriculturalist Conference on December 8th. More news just like that, available now at MidwestFarmReport.com, plus our complete podcast playlist. I'm Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. It will become a little breezy by late this afternoon and especially into this evening. Our high today in the upper 40s to near 50. Tonight, partly cloudy, breezy in the mid to upper 30s. Tomorrow, cloudy with scattered rain and a high in the mid to upper 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
The Todd Alba Show,
managing editor of eBombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as it's Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers. We'll find out what's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Civic Media this morning here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 7:34 on a Tuesday, the 12th of November, 2024. Glad to have you along. Todd Alba filling in for Pat Kreitlow and Up North News Radio, both of which will return next Monday right here across all these same stations. Mr. Kreitlow spending a little time with family, well deserved, and he'll be back with us on Monday of next week. Checking a quick check of temperatures around the state of Wisconsin, still in the teens up there at Duluth Superior at 18 degrees, 27 in Ashland, looks like 28 degrees in Amory. It is 30 in Hayward right now, 30 degrees as well in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, 30 in La Crosse, 34 down in Richland Center, looks like 32 degrees right now in Wausau, 34 in Green Bay, 30 degrees in Oshkosh, and 45 degrees down where Greg Bach is at. Mr. Bach, that lake keeps things a little balmy down there this time of year.
It's very, very warm and nice and sunny down here. You know, what's going on?
Rubbing it in, Mr. Bach. Taking a look at 511 Department of Transportation road around the state of Wisconsin right now. A couple of incidents have popped up, in particular in the North Woods on U.S. Highway 53 just above Rice Lake going north. That road is closed beyond Highway 27 right now because of a fire. No further details. Not sure if it's a vehicle fire or some sort of a grass fire. But again, if you are headed up Highway 53 going north of Rice Lake, headed north, you're going to have to find an alternative route because US 53 North is closed right now beyond 27th Avenue in Rice Lake because of a fire. So be aware of that. Also, it looks like I-94 West, going towards just before you get to Hudson there, I-94 West is closed beyond the ramp from County T as in Todd because of a crash. So again, a crash looks like on I-94 West, heading west, that is, beyond the ramp for County Highway T just before you get to the Hudson area there. So be aware of those two incidents this morning. We will keep you up to date as we move through the morning. It is now 7:36, and joining us as per usual on Up North News Radio, being so kind as to come on this morning with us, is Hans Breitenmoser, a Lincoln County farmer. He joins us via the phone. Hans, thank you so very much for taking the time to get up and be with us this morning.
Nope, not at all. My pleasure.
Well, the pleasure is ours. Hans, I wanted to talk to you just a minute from the election side. You know, you don't necessarily have to get into the partisan side of it unless you want to. That's totally up to you. But just as an ag producer, as a farmer, viewing the results of this election, how do you feel about it? And what do you think it means for Wisconsin ag producers moving into 2025?
At the risk of sounding dramatic, I think it's an unmitigated disaster.
I love that. Somebody who puts it straightforward. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, Todd. I mean, you know, you know as well as anyone that a lot of folks that I live with, work with, and deal with out in rural parts of Wisconsin tend to vote for Republicans. They obviously came out for Trump this time around, but I think it's with all due respect to those folks, it's an example of people voting against their better interests. And there's nothing that we can point to You know, during the former Trump administration, that was good for ag. There simply is not. Tariffs aren't good for ag. You know, they never have been. You know, taking our employees and quote, sending them home, also bad for ag. And so some of the things that he's promised and some of the examples that he's done last time, if people think that these are things that are going to be good for rural economies, they are sadly mistaken. It is going to be it's going to be tough. And it's and the other thing that I hear that's going to happen is that some of the things that the Biden administration put in place with regard to the IRA and money that's being sent to local governments to help with roads and bridges and infrastructure of that nature, and also to private folks in terms of building a greener economy and so forth. Those are dollars that this administration would like to stop see coming into our community. So if you take away the employees that add value to our businesses and you take away good investment in our rural communities, I'm struggling to see how this is going to end well.
So, Hans, other than that, no, I mean that's you say, right? I don't mean to make light of it, but as I told Greg this morning, at some point you kind of have to just say, you know, people messed around on Tuesday, and now we're getting to the find out part. And I'm so glad to talk to a farmer and an ag producer. You know, I don't pawn myself off as one, but I grew up in Richland County. My grandparents on my dad's side were 45-year dairy farmers, had Holsteins in southwest Wisconsin. And so I know a little something about it. I handled agriculture issues for former Congressman Scott Klug and Dale Schultz. And I'm so glad you touched on a couple of these things. And I hope folks, I want to hear this from you as a farmer, an ag producer in Wisconsin. When I was working for a congressman, the dirty secret in Washington, quite frankly, in Wisconsin, amongst my, I left the Republican Party in 2011, but my former party, you know, would go out and campaign on issues like Trump did of quote-unquote, you know, mass deportations. But the dirty secret was anybody who knew anything about ag production in Wisconsin knows that if you would actually do this, the agriculture in Wisconsin is built on the backs of both legal or documented and, let's be honest, to some degree, undocumented and or seasonal workers in this state. And to round them all up and send them, quote unquote, back home, it would collapse the ag economy and market in Wisconsin. Keep me honest, Hans. Am I right about that?
Oh, yeah, you're 100% right. And I've been saying this for years. And, you know, there's an ignorance that I guess I can sort of justify or get over amongst, Joe and Jane consumer of our dairy products and of our meat products and all the things that we produce here in Wisconsin, vegetables and so forth, that are directly linked to the labor that is used to produce those products. I will forgive that to a certain extent. But among policymakers, I mean, if they're really that ignorant, they definitely don't deserve a seat at the table. And if they're willfully ignorant, then they don't either. But what I found super frustrating is that amongst my farming brethren, you know, they've been willing to vote for Donald Trump while they have, X number of folks from south of the border on their payroll. And when questioned on, they're like, oh, he's not really going to do that. Well, isn't that a very cynical attitude to take? Isn't that a real stand up way to go about your voting choices? You know, the lives of these folks have been made and will be made miserable by this, just by the rhetoric. All right. But if anything even attempts to move the needle in that direction, let's just say we're J.D. Vance and we say, oh, don't worry, we're only going to get rid of a million of them. I'm here to tell you, this economy does not work without these people. Full stop. It just doesn't. You don't need to be an economist to figure that out. All you have to do is walk onto any farm or any meatpacking plant. And unless you got your head so far up your rear end, you're going to be able to see that.
Right. I hear you, man. And this is, again, as someone who grew up in that part of the state and gets out there a lot still, I just don't understand it. I tell people, ask yourselves, you know, I'm 54 years old. When I was still, quote unquote, a kid in high school, college, you know, there were still people in my community that were working on the farms, and there still are. I don't mean to say they're not, but I mean, you know, in the 2000s, I had constituents of my bosses calling up and saying, I'm advertising well beyond what the local, you know, minimum wage is or anything like that, and I can't get, you know, local kids to come here and help chore and help milk and help do the, I mean, we have to go to migrant labor to get these things done. And you're absolutely right that it's unfortunate that more people just don't see this firsthand.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, very frustrating. And it's not only going to hurt our pocketbooks, but it hurts my heart because,
yes,
you know, to have to listen to this rhetoric and have people like Tom Tiffany, you know, put up ads about, you know, one isolated incident of a criminal who happened to be from south of the border, making it sound like all crime happens by people who came here from another country. The reality is so much the opposite, Todd. I mean, it's not even close. I see people every day working long hours, hard hours, doing less than glamorous work just to earn a paycheck and better their lives. And those dollars are turning around in the community. Wave that magic wand, make all these people go home. The dairy industry stops working immediately, and it stops in a really ugly way. Because if I have to sell my cows, where the hell am I going to sell them if nobody's going to slaughter them? Answer me that. Dead cows piled up. That's what we're going to have.
Yeah, and you bring up another really great point. We're talking to Hans Breitenmoser, Lincoln County farmer, that, you know, again, my former party, Republican Party, talks so much about work ethic, family values, you know, not getting by on the government. And you hit it. You nailed it. So many of these great folks who come from south of the border are family people. They work their rear ends off, and they're going to churches, and they're contributing to the community, and they're paying into the tax roll. And somehow we want to get rid of there are people in certain parts of the Republican Party that want to get rid of it. Let's move on quickly, Hans. I want you to explain just a little bit about this, the other point you touched on, because I think it's so important that I and Greg or Hans, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe on election day or the day after the election, one of the highest Googled things on Google were, what are tariffs?
Yep.
And yet they voted for Donald Trump. We have about 3 minutes left, Hans, but explain what this means as an ag producer, what the tariffs could do to you as an ag producer and what it could do for Wisconsin's economy.
Well, you know, it is fascinating, isn't it? I've always said about trade between countries, I think trade between countries has to be sort of how we deal here out in our beloved rural parts of the community, right? I deal back and forth with my neighbors. Okay, I'm going to haul some of their grain today, and we're going to do a little horse trading. We deal with different suppliers and vendors and so forth. And what you find out over time is that these agreements, these deals that we make amongst each other have to be mutually beneficial or the relationship falls apart, okay? That's how trade should be done globally as well, all right? That's number one. Number two, the thing you need to know and you need to understand about the United States of America is if we're going to have any kind of trade with other countries and have that mutually beneficial, a lot of it coming from our country is going to be agricultural products. We're a big food producer, okay? And other countries don't have that, so they have manufactured products. Well, okay, go ahead, be hard-nosed and slap some big old tariffs on some other countries and see how far that gets. Who it's going to hurt is going to hurt the consumers in this country that buy those products, and it's going to hurt ag because there's going to be retaliatory kind of vibe there that's going to say, oh, well, all right, fine, you go ahead and do that. And here's the kind of tariffs we're going to put on your cheese, soybeans, corn, ginseng. You know, ginseng is really big. The ginseng producers took it in the shorts pretty hard last time Trump was in office, and it sure as hell isn't going to get any better this time around.
Yeah. Thanks, Hans, for painting that spectacularly positive picture. No, I think it's healthy because, like I say, I'm not trying to be funny about it. People messed around at the voting booth on Tuesday, and now they're going to find out. And I think it's good to have people like you telling us what's to come here and what this really means. And sometimes the only way somebody can learn a lesson is going through it. And for better or worse, we're going to go through it. But, Hans, I'm so appreciative for you, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, thanks. Sorry to be such a downer. Next time I talk with you, I'll try and be a little more uplifting. But it'll have to be later in the day when I've got a couple drinks in me.
You and me both, my friend. Thank you so much, Hans. Appreciate it. Come on back. We're going to talk about an elk of you two. A horny elk on the loose once again in Wisconsin. We'll explain when we come back on Civic Media.
This is the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already is.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Civic Media this morning on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mr. Greg Bach joining us as well. Todd Allball in for a vacationing Pat Kreitlow. It is 7:51 on your morning commute. Looks like a pretty good morning across the state of Wisconsin. Brittany Merlot says it will be seasonal temperatures. A little bit of rain moving into the next 24 hours or so, but it looks like the weekend should be looking pretty fine. A couple of updates here for you. Again, Highway 53 just on the north side of Rice Lake. Be aware that that road is closed due to a fire in that part of the world. And also I-94 heading west towards Hudson. It looks like that's beginning to get cleaned up. There was an accident there, but there may be significant delays as you get towards the Hudson area if you're heading towards the Twin Cities this morning on Highway 94. Temperatures around the state of Wisconsin range from teens up in the Ashland and Superior area all the way down to a balmy 46 degrees where Greg Bach is at down there in Racine and Kenosha, Greg. A little warm down there, relatively speaking.
I mean, it really is. I'm not going to lie. I don't hate it.
Right.
I always fight, like right now, it's 47 right now. I always fight putting a jacket on. It's why usually I'm wearing hoodies because I take carrying stuff with me. But yeah. I'll take it until I can't take it no more, and then it'll be snowy, and we'll have to do plowing and whatnot, and we'll see. Apparently, according to Brittany, this year we're going to have La Nina, which means we're going to have a much more wintry winter than we did last year. Right. I'm just getting myself ready and like, all right, I got to pull the trigger on finally buying a snow thrower.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's important when you get a lot of snow like that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you, I think you and Jane and Matt are on air from 10 until noon, the fine program that you have before ours. And I think you guys talked, I think it was a moose last year, wasn't it? That came down out of like northern Wisconsin and was looking for a mate.
Yes.
And got hit by tragically ended on a spree down in Illinois.
Yeah.
And who of us haven't been looking for a mate and gotten in trouble in Illinois? I mean, now here again, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning, nature is taking its course. Bull elk sighted in southern Wisconsin during annual breeding season. Deer hunters are reminded to positively identify their targets as we get into. Now, come on. I was a hunter for a deer hunt. I still shoot pheasant and turkey occasionally. Still go hunting for that. But I was a gun deer hunter. Never got into bow hunting.
Yeah.
Was not that talented. But gun deer hunted for a long time. If you are not a good enough hunter to tell the difference between a white-tailed deer and a bull elk, you should not have a firearm in the woods. I mean, come on.
I think if you can't tell the difference between a white-tailed deer and a bull elk, you shouldn't just be in the woods. You should just stay home. You're better off there. Get a job working from home remotely.
Well, here again, it doesn't matter who you are. You understand, we all have our needs, including the bull elk. Among Wisconsin wildlife sightings, this one is relatively new, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. But given the status of the species, it's likely to become an annual event. At least two bull elk have moved south this fall from their home range in Jackson County. The bulls are looking for what else? Female elk or cows during the species breeding season. The bulls' travels have been captured on trail cameras in Iowa and Grant counties here in southwest Wisconsin, among other spots outside of their normal range, according to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. The local DNR Central Elk Zone biologist said one of the bulls, a bigger, more mature animal, has been hanging out near Wyalusing State Park near Bagley in Grant County. And the other, a smaller, quote-unquote, raghorn, I never heard of that before, has been spent most of his time recently in Iowa County with the latest report near Mineral Point. The bulls have distinctively different antlers, so it's clear at least two elk are moving around southwest Wisconsin. Several of the documented sightings have been provided to the DNR by the public through the DNR's online wildlife observation form. Trail cams give images of bulls. The bull elk have also been put on social media sites. I'm looking at one of them. This is a good looking bull.
This is a good looking bull.
He is muscular. I cannot believe it.
What's and up, ladies?
And obviously horny because he had a big rack.
Oh my God.
This fall, according to the DNR, these elk are looking for a mate or more than one. They're polyamorous elk, apparently. The cows in the central herd have quite a few bigger, more dominant bulls around. So, you know, these smaller bulls are exploring outside of their normal range. I love every part of this story, by the way.
These bull elks are open up to thruples. They're open up to quadruples. They live a progressive lifestyle in the woods of Wisconsin, America's Dairyland. We are open-minded to elk relationships. My goodness.
Thruple elk. I love it. I love it. That's the best line of the morning. Thruple elk.
I'm going to be in a band called Thruple Elk. That's going to just...
That's really good, Greg. Yeah. That could be a Milwaukee band. Thruple elk. White-tailed deer, Wisconsin's most common member of the deer family, pair up during the mating season. Well, as we all do. But elk, a larger member of the deer family, have a different mating behavior. The bulls compete for dominance, and the winners from the groups of cows called harems. Did you know this?
No.
That a group of female elk are called a harem.
Oh my! I love how much you're loving this. It makes me so happy.
I love, because I just love a good double entendre. I love the fact that these elk are getting it done. God bless them, and drive safely. That's what I have to say. Yeah. Greg Bach, you're amazing. Thank you for being here. Thanks for helping us through these technical difficulties.
Not a problem.
And all of you for listening. It is Matt Rothschild tomorrow. And, of course, Pat Kreitlow and Up North News Radio returns next Monday. Thank you all. Have a safe day out there on the roads. We'll see you at noon. Join Greg and Jane at 10.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Dom Salvia.
Next time, Overtime with Maggie Dawn, we will preview the Trump administration cabinet picks, plus the takeaways from the 2024 election with Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Earl Ingram.
Don from Milwaukee.
I enjoy your show right now at a time like this. You are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We enjoy you as well. That's the importance of civic media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. We're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.